Good morning. I have a few intimations this morning ahead of the service. As I'm sure you're all aware, there will be a special service on Sunday, 19th November, to celebrate 25 years since Gary was inducted at St. Ninian's Oak Parish Church. Everyone should note that this service will start at 11 a.m. There will also be a celebratory lunch immediately after the service in the parish halls. Tickets for the lunch, priced at £15, will be available from the McMichael Chapel next Sunday, the 15th of October, and every Sunday thereafter. Finally, the following information is specifically for people who worship with us online, locally, or from a distance. Since I made the last intimation regarding a gift presentation for Gary, we've had a few inquiries from folks who worship online and would like to make a donation. You have two options. Firstly, you can post your donation to me, Leslie Asher, 17B Rolex Street, Stirling, FK8 2PP. Or if you're local and you'd like your donation to be collected, please contact me by phone on 07801 141 210 and I'll arrange to have it picked up from your home address. Please note that any cheques should be made payable to St. Ninian's Old Parish Church. Online worshippers should note the information I have just announced for posting or having donations collected can be found on the church website. Simply log into the website, scroll down the home page, and you will find the details under Mr. McIntyre's presentation. If anyone has any issues, please feel free to phone me on 07801 141 210 or speak to me after the service. I will be happy to help. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to those here in the sanctuary and to those who are joining us online at this time or later in the day or week. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 210, Awake My Soul.
Thank you.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the branch that your right hand has planted. Let us pray. Eternal God, shepherd of our souls and keeper of the vineyard, we come before you with hearts that are grateful. You care tenderly for your people, and you watch over us all the days of our lives. Gracious God, whatever stage we are at in our journey, we want to know you better. And it is our wish that hearing you call us by name, we will be faithful tenants of the vineyard you have entrusted to us. Merciful God, in this morning hour, we come to praise you, but we also come acknowledging our shortcomings. We recognize there are times when we fail to be loving, patient, and kind. And we confess that instead of focusing on your kingdom, we have been more concerned with ourselves and that which suits us best. Almighty God, forgive us, and may your Spirit work within us, that our hearts will reflect your love, and our thoughts, words, and actions be worthy of our calling to be children of the light. Gracious God, you are the giver of all that is good. Bless this time of worship. Let us be open to what you have to say to us, and may it be that experiencing your presence, we will gladly respond by offering all that we have and all that we are in your service. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and as the one people, we say the prayer he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Today marks the launch of the Blythewood Care Christmas Shoebox Appeal. There you are, I've said it, Christmas. Leaflets are in both vestibules of the church today. Individual items or filled shoeboxes will be most welcome for this worthy cause. Now, the last day for donations, including monetary donations, is Sunday, the 29th of October. So it's not that far away, 3 weeks today. So please do lift up a Blythewood Care shoebox appeal leaflet, one like this, that you'll find in both vestibules of the church. There will be a joint church friendship lunch in Park Church Hall on Wednesday, beginning at 12 noon. Can I say a big thank you to all those who came along to the soup and sandwich lunch in our own hall yesterday? Given the inclement weather, I didn't think there would be many at all, but there was a very good turnout. So thank you, and thank you to those who prepared a delicious lunch for us. The craft group will meet in the middle room of the parish halls on Thursday at 7 o'clock. That's a further opportunity for friendship and fellowship. The sacrament of baptism will be administered during the service next Sunday. And finally, volunteers to help tidy the church grounds and the surrounding area for the last time this year are invited to gather at the church a week on Tuesday at 1:30. And a big thanks to the work party for the excellent job that they have done in tidying the church grounds. Today has been designated National Street Pastor Sunday. As such, churches throughout the land are recognising the work that street pastors do and remembering them in prayer. Stirling street pastors are active in the city centre at nights at the weekend, and they provide valuable support and practical to help to people, some of whom are vulnerable and in distress. A new initiative has seen the street pastors patrol the university campus on a Friday afternoon. Many friendships have been formed with staff and students from all around the world. A number of individuals who are lonely have greatly benefited from the street pastors, who provide a much needed listening ear and a word of reassurance. Prior to the pandemic, there were around 30 Stirling street pastors, but the number has fallen to around 22, and this has meant there have been fewer patrols than in the past. Stirling street pastors are Christian volunteers from 16 churches in and around the city, and they would be delighted if more volunteers came forward in order that they could increase the number of patrols they do. The street pastors work very closely with Stirling Council, the police, and other agencies. And in the name of Jesus, they make a real difference. Today, we thank those who are street pastors, and we pray that other people will volunteer to join them. One of our own members, Mrs. Christine Purser, is a street pastor, and I have a certificate to present to Christine in recognition of the service that she gives to this organisation whose aim is to care, to listen, and to help. Christine. Christine, thank you for all that you do as a street pastor here in Stirling. It is wonderful work, and I have heard many reports of those who have been helped and how very, very grateful they are. It is not an easy task going out into the city streets late at night, at the weekend, and into the early hours. It's a significant commitment, so a big thank you to you and to all the other Stirling street pastors. Thank you. Should you wish to find out more about Stirling street pastors, then please do speak to Christine or pick up a leaflet from either vestibule of the church. You can also check out Stirling street pastors' website or Facebook page. Financial support would also be welcome. Let us pray. Living God, we praise you for the vision that brought street pastors into being and for the lives that have been touched through this movement of your Spirit. We thank you for every street pastor, and we pray for them as they share your love with others. We ask for your protection and encouragement, and for an awareness of your presence at all times. We pray too for those the street pastors meet in the city centre and on the university campus. May those who are lonely be warmed by the care given. May those who are bruised and hurting find healing in your love. And may those who are ashamed and without hope, be set free by your forgiveness and grace. This prayer we offer in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We sing a hymn that is very relevant as we think about the work of street pastors. Hymn 694, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You, Let Me Be as Christ to You. We turn to the Word of God, the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 7, page 571 in the Pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 5, the opening verse. Hear the Word of God. I shall sing for my beloved, my love song about his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard high up on a fertile slope. He trenched it, cleared it of stones, and planted it with choice red vines. In the middle he built a watchtower and also hewed out a wine vat. He expected it to yield choice grapes, but all it yielded was a crop of wild grapes. Now, you citizens of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I did for it? Why, when I expected it to yield choice grapes, did it yield wild grapes? Now listen while I tell you what I am about to do to my vineyard. I shall take away its hedge and let it go to waste. I shall break down its wall and let it be trampled underfoot. I shall leave it derelict. It will be neither pruned nor hoed, but left overgrown with briars and thorns. I shall command the clouds to withhold their rain from it. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is Israel, Judah, the plant he cherished. He looked for justice but found bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. And how pertinent are these last words as we think of what is happening in the Middle East at this time. The Gospel of St. Matthew, Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 33. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 33 and reading through to verse 46, page 20 in the Pew Bible. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall round it, hewed out a winepress and built a watchtower. Then he let it out to fine growers and went abroad. When the harvest season approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect the produce due to him. But they seized his servants, thrashed one, killed another, and stoned a third. Again he sent other servants, this time a larger number, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son. "They will respect my son," he said. But when they saw the son, the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come on, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, flung him out of the vineyard, and killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, how do you think he will deal with those tenants? "He will bring those bad men to a bad end," they answered, "and hand the vineyard over to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop when the season comes." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the main cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation that yields the proper fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they saw that he was referring to them. They wanted to arrest him, but were afraid of the crowds who looked on Jesus as a prophet. Amen. And thanks be to God for these readings of his own holy word. To his name be the glory and the praise. Christ is made the sure foundation, hymn 200. Let us pray. Gracious God, with hearts full of gratitude, we thank you for your unfailing love and constant care. You are with us in every circumstance, and you grant us not what we want, but what we need. Lord Jesus, the head and cornerstone, you are the sure foundation for our lives. In you, our salvation is secure, and through you, we find hope for ourselves, for the church, and for the world. Eternal God, whose will it is that all should live in peace, we pray for lands riven by division, terrorism, and conflict. Especially today, we pray for the situation in the Middle East. Instill in the political parties, factions, and groups a hunger for justice and a resolve to end the distrust that culminates in violence and in war. Loving God, hear our prayers today for the brokenhearted, the sick, and the suffering. May they experience the comfort and healing for which their souls cry out. We pray for the lonely, the marginalized, and all who feel weighed down by burdens that are heavy to carry. May they find solace in your love and be treated justly and with compassion. We pray for our parish, for the wider community, and the country as a whole. As we remember those facing hardship and challenges known only to themselves, we pray for all in positions of leadership and responsibility. Endow them with wisdom and a desire to create a society permeated by grace and equity. Gracious God, you have entrusted to us the responsibility to bear the fruits of your kingdom. Inspired by the example of our Lord, let us be a people who are thankful, who are loving, and who are kind. And in our lives, may we always testify to your goodness and mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we offer this, our prayer. Amen. We sing the hymn 187, 187, There's a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Thank you.
It was said of Queen Elizabeth II that she did not like confrontation and would do all that she could to avoid it. Many of us will perhaps be like her in that regard. We don't want to be at loggerheads with others. Thus, we may keep quiet even when we know we should speak up. But if speaking up has the potential to cause conflict, then remaining quiet can often be a good option. What about Jesus? What camp does he fit into? Isn't it true that when we look at certain stained glass depictions of him, we get an image of Jesus as being gentle and mild in manner? And that image can certainly be backed up from some of the stories we read about him. He saw the crowd before him, and his heart went out to them because he knew they would be hungry. At the tomb of his friend Lazarus, he wept openly. He had pity on the woman caught in adultery. With tenderness, he healed the sick and even washed the feet of his disciples. Gentle and mild in manner, that he was. But when the need arose, and it often did, Jesus spoke out against that which was wrong, and he did so without fear or favour. You remember the time when he confronted the money changers and with fury overturned the tables in the temple. He broke the law by healing people on the Sabbath, and he said it was the right and loving thing to do. He openly mixed with outcasts and those frowned upon by society. And what about the parable we read this morning? Time and time again, Jesus challenged the religious leaders of the day head on. And that is what he does in the parable of the vineyard. The prophets frequently compared the people of Israel to a vineyard. The prophet Isaiah, in today's first reading, speaks of the vineyard cherished by the Lord, which produces only bad fruit. And Jesus takes this parable of Isaiah as his starting point. But instead of placing the emphasis on the quality of the grapes, the fruit produced in the vineyard, Jesus speaks about the tenants of the vineyard who refuse to give the landowner his produce. The tenants, as we read, abused the servants of the landowner, and they even killed the landowner's son. My friends, Jesus is now in the city of Jerusalem, and he directs his words to those in authority, those who, like many of their forefathers before them, do not heed the messengers of God, with the result they fail to produce a harvest of good fruit. in fairness to the Pharisees and the priests, they got the message. They knew that Jesus was actually talking about them. Now, they were powerful people. And this tells us something about the courage of Jesus to speak up. They had failed to discharge their duties in the way they should have. They had, like many leaders today in the church and in government, abused their position. And for that, there would surely be a price to pay. I wonder what you make of this image, this depiction of Jesus. It is quite different from the gentle Jesus, the mild-mannered Jesus. Perhaps this is an image that we prefer not to think about. Possibly it makes us a tad uncomfortable. For unlike the vineyard we read about in Isaiah that produced bad fruit and was destroyed, the vineyard that Jesus spoke of was not destroyed. It was instead given to other tenants. And who are the other tenants? You and me. We who make up the church today. We are the tenants of the vineyard. And be assured, God looks to us to bear good fruit, fruit that will last. Gentle and mild in manner, yes, but Jesus also spoke the truth. However, can I put it to you, he did so with love. He did so in the fervent hope that even at the 11th hour, those he was directing his message to would come to their senses and change their ways. Truly, as we sang, there is a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. Isn't it the case that sometimes we take what we have for granted? We look around us, and while there is much in the world to concern us, the situation in the Middle East, that awful earthquake in Afghanistan that has claimed the lives of more than 2,000 people, and so much more to concern us in the world today, there is also a great deal that is good. Food for our table and a roof over our heads, families who love us, friends who are always there for us. And despite the heavy rain of these days, we live in a country with the most amazing scenery and landscape. But how thankful are we? God has given us the world to live in and enjoy. Yes, to enjoy it. But it is still His world. God's world, given to us to look after and care for and to be in harmony with nature and with one another. My friends, like the owner of the vineyard in the parable that Jesus spoke of, God trusts us. Isn't that quite something? God trusts us, and He gives us freedom. And what a gift that is. He doesn't watch over us like a merciless dictator, but rather He is patient with our failings. And He gives us chance after chance to change and make amends and do things differently. But He is also persistent. Through the prophets, through Jesus His Son, through the Holy Spirit, He comes to us again and again. And He reminds us of our responsibilities as tenants of the vineyard. We are to bear the fruits of the kingdom. So let us ask, how are we doing? How well are we looking after the vineyard God has entrusted to us as individuals? Just take a moment to reflect on these questions and these points. Think of the people we know and with whom we interact. Think of our daily experiences and circumstances. Think of the conversations we have and the choices we make. Think of how we respond to those who are in need. In these vineyards, do we as individuals make real the kingdom of God? Do we bear fruit that will last? Or do we mar God's image through carrying grudges and resentment? Do we exert authority over others in a way that demeans them and makes them feel worthless? Do we look at people and make judgments about their opinions, choices, or lifestyle? What fruit do we bear? Is it good fruit? Or is it bad? And what about the vineyard entrusted to us as a church? What is it that fires us up and motivates us? Ask yourself that. Are we thankful to God for His goodness to us, and therefore we respond with gladness and we serve joyfully? Or do we see all that we have to do as a bit of a chore? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to permeate our being so that we are like mirror images of Christ to those who enter the sanctuary, to those we engage with out in the community where we are called to be as lights in the darkness and beacons of hope in the midst of despair? Do we seek justice for the poor as a church? And do we take action that will help preserve the earth that is not ours but belongs to God and has been given to us in trust? do we display in our lives as individuals and as a church? The fruits of the kingdom that we see in Jesus himself, and which are not abstract ideas, but ought to be lived realities in the vineyards we are tenants of. These are all big questions, aren't they? And if they make us feel uneasy or uncomfortable, take heart. For Jesus tells us what we are to do to bear fruit that will last. He said, "If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus, who is gentle and mild in manner, Jesus, who is not afraid to speak out and tackle injustice, is there for us. And if we seek his grace and his help, so we will bear fruit, fruit that will last. My friends, I'm of the view that Jesus did not wish to take the kingdom away from the Pharisees and the priests, the religious leaders of the day. It wasn't what he wanted. But like the tenants in the parable, they had turned away from God. They had started to think that what they had was theirs, that they owned it, and therefore they would not part with it. To put it succinctly, they thought they could run God's kingdom without God. And therefore, by their actions, they were excluding themselves from the kingdom. And as in the parable, so in reality, they rejected the one who was the chief cornerstone, the Son, sent by the Father. And as a consequence, they brought judgment upon themselves. What a privilege God has bestowed on you and on me and his church to be tenants of his vineyard. But with it comes responsibilities. We are to bear good fruit, to sow the seeds of love and joy and peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are called to be different and to make a difference through the words we speak and the things we do. We are to continue the work Jesus began, sharing the good news of God's redeeming love and care. And we are to do so, knowing that all we have is not ours by right, but gifts given by God to be treasured and held in trust until the Master returns. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. let's take a moment in the quiet to reflect on Jesus' words that we are to bear fruit that will last. Amen. The closing hymn, 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Go in peace and bear fruit that will last, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell within you this day and forevermore.